Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good.
Yeah.
You might absolutely be going through hell this morning, but if you do nothing else, give thanks unto the Lord. Not because it's all good, but because He's all good. Exodus 14. We're going to read verses 8 through 15. Exodus chapter 14. Verses 8 through 15. Follow along with me as I read. I'm not going to read from King James. I'm going to read from the New King James. Verses 8 through 15 read this way out of New King James. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, so they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you. We just give you thanks because you are good. We give you thanks because your mercy endures forever. And we thank you for another opportunity to break the bread of life. And we ask right now that you enter into this house and that you rule by your spirit. And that you speak words of life to your people today. And that you meet them right where they are. And that you minister to them today, so that they are forever changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
To our senior pastor, and to Minister Barnwell, to all that are in the house today, good morning. And praise the Lord.
Worthy.
So, you know, when we read the story of the children of Israel making their departure from Egypt, we usually limit our focus to two portions of the story. And the first thing that we usually take note of is the ending of the story, where God, through Moses, parts the Red Sea. Because that part grabs our attention because it's such a marvelous, wonderful display of God's power. And it shows the great lengths he'll go to rescue and deliver his people. It reminds us that no matter what we're going through, God will make a way where there is no way. The other part of the story that we focus on is the part in verse 13 where Moses says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." That's a favorite one in the church. We like that verse. We like that verse because it makes us shout. It gets us excited. And it reminds us just how great, big, and wonderful our God really is. It reminds us that no matter what we're going through, the battle does not belong to us, but the battle is the Lord's. So when we're in trouble, a scripture like that can bring us great comfort. However, the part of the story that we tend to overlook is a part that's found in verse 15 where God commands Moses to tell the people, "Go forward." That's what we're going to talk about today. Because like never before, today's church needs to go forward. When the children of Israel were trapped in the wilderness and there was nowhere to run and nowhere to hide, and the enemy was breathing down their necks, God told the children of Israel the same thing he's telling us, and that is to go forward. We've got to go forward. He's telling us to go forward in spite of our fears. And he's telling us to go forward in spite of any danger that we face. And he's telling us to go forward in spite of the obstacles in our path. And he's telling us to go forward even in spite of our past. If you don't hear anything else I say today, hear the Lord telling you, go forward. Go forward. So tomorrow we celebrate the life and the legacy of Dr. King. And it should be more than a day off work. And it should be more than a day out of school. It should be a day that we take the time to reflect upon how Dr. King personified this mandate from God to go forward. See, in spite of all the obstacles and the fear and the injustice and the danger and the threats and everything else Dr. King encountered, he remained steadfast in his determination and his commitment to go forward. See, in fact, when we examine the life of Dr. King, we see a conspicuous correlation between his life and the life of Moses. In fact, we see a real correlation between those two. Both of them were called to lead a people that didn't necessarily want to be led. And both of them were called to lead a people that criticized them unfairly. And both of them were called to lead a people who had been oppressed by slavery to the promised land. And yet, neither of these faithful servants actually got to the promised land themselves. In fact, both of them died knowing they would not get to the promised land themselves, but that did not stop them or discourage them from going forward. See, when we consider that in the context of this story, we can extract some lessons that teach us that no matter what obstacles we face in life, no matter what pharaohs from our past are chasing us, no matter what bondage that we've come out of, no matter what danger we face, we have to go forward. But in order for us to go forward, we've got to confront and resolve the issues that hinder us. See, we don't like to admit it, but we've got some issues. We got issues. And these issues prevent us from entering the promised land. So when we look at what our issues are, the first thing that we have to conquer is our fears. See, when we read verse 8, we see the children of Israel leaving Egypt, it says, with boldness. After being enslaved for 400 plus years, they finally been liberated. However, shortly after leaving Egypt, just two verses later into the text, we see that boldness turn into fear, crippling fear. Nothing will prevent you from going forward in your life like fear. Verses 11 and 12 show us that fear can cause us to abandon our dreams and derail our destiny. And fear can cause us to willingly return to a life of bondage and negativity. And fear can even cause us to turn on the very people that are sent into our lives to help us the most. See, verse 10 says, they lifted up their eyes and they saw the Egyptians chasing after them. As soon as they took their focus off their destiny and placed their focus on their circumstances, they were ready to blame Moses, abandon the journey, derail their destiny, and go right back to being slaves. Whatever you do, do not take your eyes off your destiny.
All right.
Don't let anything, anybody, distract you, derail you, or discourage you from reaching your destiny.
Yeah.
Don't let the intimidation of the enemy, don't let anybody throw you off course, don't let anybody derail you, because going forward is how, going forward is how we want to conquer our fears. But see, the other thing that we've got to do is we've got to conquer our past. In the Champions for Life prison ministry that I work with, we come across inmates frequently that have vowed that once they get out of prison, they would absolutely never return. Yet sometimes within a few months, they find themselves right back behind prison bars because they were unable to go forward and conquer their past. They were unable to go forward and conquer the negative patterns and behaviors that enslaved them in their minds. They were able to break free. They were unable to break free from the toxic relationships and habits that caused them to return to a sinful lifestyle. But don't get too judgmental, because we also work with some church folks who vow that once they came out of the devil's prison and began learning the word of God and applying the word of God, that they wouldn't go back to the spiritual prison that they came out of. But sometimes, within a few months, a few weeks, and even a few days, they find themselves right back in a spiritual prison because they couldn't break the pattern of negativity either. See, they tried to rush their journey and go forward without fully understanding the process of discipleship and the importance of learning how to be a Christian.
All right.
Now, one of my favorite songs is by India Arie, and she had this song out a few years ago that said, "Slow down, baby. You're moving too fast. You got your hands in the air and you got your foot on the gas. You're about to wreck your future trying to run from your past. Slow down, baby. You're moving too fast." See, you don't stop your progress, but sometimes you got to slow it down just a little bit so others can help you along in your journey. See, you can't think that just by coming to the altar and surrendering your life to Christ that you're going to instantly be transformed into the person that God wants you to be. It doesn't happen that way. It just does not happen that way. Because when you come to the altar, that's when the battle just begins. See, when you come to the altar, that's when the battle just begins. That's when the enemy is really going to start chasing you. See, he's not going to chase you while you're already in his camp. But as soon as you make up your mind to go forward towards your destiny and make up your mind to do the things that God wants you to do, it's from that point on that Pharaoh is always going to be chasing you. See, and that Pharaoh is sent to bring fear, to bring intimidation, to bring past mistakes to your mind, all in an attempt to stop you from going forward. See, and we can't be so arrogant and prideful to think that just because we didn't surrender to Pharaoh today, that we might not do it tomorrow, or next week, or next month. Because sanctification and holiness is a daily walk with Christ. That's why we pray, give us this day our daily bread. I can't worry about tomorrow yet. I got to handle today.
Yes, sir.
See, those that have been delivered from the bondage of alcoholism, they probably understand this better than most, because they'll just come out and tell you, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I have to live day by day, because they understand that the Pharaoh of alcoholism is so strong. One drink, they can be sober for 40 years, but one drink can put them right back into the Egypt that they've been delivered from. See, we don't like to admit this, but everybody in this room has a Pharaoh. Because we've all made mistakes. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the enemy knows that. And he attempts to continue to use that to keep us in bondage, where we've got one foot in Egypt and one foot in Canaan. See, when we can't let go of the Pharaoh of bitterness, the Pharaoh of lust, the Pharaoh of jealousy, the Pharaoh of greed, the Pharaoh of pride, and other things like that, the Bible calls these things strongholds, because they have a strong hold over us. But we can't let the strongholds keep us in bondage and prevent us from going forward. See, there's going to be obstacles in your past, There's going to be situations that you've got to overcome. And there's going to be people that are going to try to hold you back. But we have to go forward. And as a church, we have to go forward together. You know, a few weeks ago in our Bible study, we spent time one evening discussing some of the tremendous hurts that some of us have faced. And some of us have gone through some unspeakable, terrible things in life. But despite all of that, despite everything that we've been through in life already, we have got to continue to go forward. See, those things that God allowed us to go through were all a part of Him shaping us to be the people that He wants us to become. See, He allows those painful, horrible, wilderness experiences so we can use them to one day minister to somebody else. See, why is it that everybody wants to get to the promised land, but nobody wants to go through the wilderness? When we know that the only way to get to the promised land is to go through the wilderness. And the longer we rebel, complain, backbite, squawk, and moan about how tough the wilderness is, the longer we have to stay there until we become what God wants us to be.
All right.
See, when we go through the wilderness, we need to remember that is exactly what it is. We're going through the wilderness. That's why David said, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Your journey to your destiny is not going to end in the wilderness. Because everything that God brings us to, He will be faithful to bring us through. Psalm says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but out of maybe one or two of them, out of them all,
yes, sir,
the Lord delivers us.
Yeah.
That's why when trouble comes, our fear can't be our first reaction. Giving up and wanting to return to the old way of life can't be our first reaction. Our reaction needs to be one that's rooted in fear and faith in the Word of God. So when trouble comes, you go, okay, Lord, how are you going to bring me out of this one? Not, are you going to bring me out of this one? I know you're going to bring me out. So before the children were allowed to cross the Red Sea, they had to learn how to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They had to learn to trust in the promise of God that, again, what He brought them to, He was surely going to bring them through. And they had to learn that no matter what the enemy came with, if they let fear take hold, then the real enemy was actually going to be themselves. Because fear and faith don't mix.
All right.
You can't respond in faith and respond in fear at the same time. You got to pick one or the other. But in the 47 years, 1 month, and 6 days that I've been alive, I have learned that very few of my problems are the result of somebody else's actions.
Mm. Yes, sir.
Now, some people have hurt me. Some people have disappointed me. Some people have betrayed me. Some people have rejected me. Mm. Some people have lied on me. Some of them are in this room right now.
Wow.
But I've learned in life, it's not what you go through, it's how you react to what you go through that makes the difference. If my reaction to all that negativity is not in line with God's word, who's really at fault? Is it them or is it me? That's why we need to realize that sometimes the real enemy is the inner me. The enemy is the inner me. I've got to look at, don't worry, I'm not going to play this song, but I've got to look at the man in the mirror and ask, what am I doing to prevent myself from going forward? See, in our journey to the promised land, not only do we have to conquer our fears and conquer our past, we've got to stretch out from our comfort zone.
Yeah.
Going forward causes us to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes us to move out of our comfort zone and to stretch. Since I know nobody closed their Bibles, because we don't do that here, look at verses 15 and 16. God says to Moses, why are you crying to me? Why are you crying to me? He tells Moses, pick up your rod and stretch forth your hand and divide the sea so the children can go forward.
Mm.
Going forward is going to cause you to stretch. It's going to cause you to stretch out of your comfort zone.
Mm.
It's going to cause you to stretch out of your familiar surroundings.
Yeah.
It's going to cause you to stretch out of your preconceived notions and traditions.
Yeah.
When you make up in your mind to go forward, you're going to encounter the same obstacles, the same attitudes, the same haters, and the same dangers and threats that Moses did.
Mm-hmm.
People around you will turn on you, accuse you, and do everything they can to hinder you.
Yeah.
And when, not if, but when that happens, what do you do? Go forward. Go forward. Go forward and get that degree.
Mm-hmm.
Go forward and start that business. Go forward and chase that dream. Just keep going forward toward the promised land and fulfill that thing that God has spoken into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't focus on the haters. Don't focus on the naysayers. Don't focus on the doubters, because no matter what you do, you're never going to totally please them anyway.
Well,
your job is to please God.
Man.
That's why Romans 3:4 says, let God be true and every man be a liar.
Yeah.
So when every man says, you're not going to make it, let God be true and go forward.
Yes, sir.
So when everybody else says, you know, I tried that myself and it didn't work, let God be true and go forward. When every other man says, when they try to ridicule you and make fun of you and discourage you and criticize you, let God be true and go forward.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how people try to discourage you, never, ever, ever give up.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep going forward
and
realize that every rejection you hear is one more no out of the way and gets you one step closer to the yes that God has already promised you. Have the same steadfastness and determination and resolve that Moses and Dr. King had. They kept going forward in spite of all the pharaohs that were chasing them.
Mm-hmm.
No, there was a story. I started to tell this story. There's a story from W.E.B. Du Bois. He was a noted philosopher in the 20th century. And he went to a restaurant in the Jim Crow South. And they met him at the door and said, we don't serve niggers in here. His response, good, because I wouldn't plan on eating any. Don't get discouraged and turn around at the first sign of trouble. Just keep going forward.
All right.
Before I sit down, there's one more thing that we need to consider about the story of God parting the Red Sea. when the waters parted and the pathway was open to their destiny, when they crossed over, God closed the waters back up. He closed the waters back up so they couldn't turn around and go back, even if they wanted to. We know God opens doors, but we don't give him his due for closing doors so we don't make the wrong choice sometimes. And today, God's opened up a door for you. He's opened a door for you, and he's opened a pathway to your destiny, your gateway into the promised land. And he's done that by extending the invitation for you to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. No matter what you try to accomplish, you cannot go forward without first establishing a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you accept that invitation, rise up out of your seat and come forward. Come forward to this first bench. The other door that he's opened for you today is an invitation for you to join with this ministry. As you journey toward the promised land, you cannot expect to make that journey alone and actually get there. The children of Israel, they were 2 million strong. They didn't make that journey alone. Dr. King didn't make his journey alone. You must connect with other believers, and you must connect with a Bible teaching church that will walk you through the daily process of discipleship. Do we have one today? So, I have a question for you. How committed are you to your journey to the promised land? How are you going to conquer your fears? How are you going to conquer your past? How are you going to stretch forth and move out of your comfort zone and go forward to what God has called you to do? There's only one way. I want you to ask yourself the question, what have you put off in your life that you were afraid to try because you thought you were going to fail? And when you have that answer, just go forward and do it. Look at it this way. A year from today, you wish you would have started today. Whatever it is. A year from today, you could already be at the destination God's called you to be, or at least well on your way. Start today. Start today. Father God, I told you what you told me to tell them. And the seed of your word has been planted within your people. I know some of it fell on good ground. I know some of it fell on stony ground. But Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to bring forth a harvest within your people. We bind every pharaoh and hindrance that will try to prevent your people from going forward into the promised land, which you called them to. Let them always remember the word that you spoke to them today. And I pray that I have done what's pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Bless God. For that powerful word, amen. Amen. Let's move forward, amen. Let's thank God for that word, amen. Amen. Do we have any guests, any visitors in the house? If that's you today, we'd like to acknowledge your presence. Amen, amen. I see so many familiar faces, amen, amen. Let's just Praise God for you being here, getting a word from God. Amen. Yeah, you could have stayed home. You could have stayed home, but you pressed your way to come out and get a word from heaven. And I'm sure, I know I did. I'm sure you received that word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.